Bibles this evening to Revelation chapter 22. Ron, did you bring, put a tape in? Is your tape in? Is your tape in? Okay, good. And we're going to read from verse 1. Revelation chapter 22, verse 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word once again. We thank you for this opportunity to come together to partake of the communion, the foot washing, and Father, to partake of the breaking of bread in prayer. And knowing, Father, that in the book of Acts, when they gathered together for doctrine, for fellowship, for the breaking of bread in prayer, that many mighty, wonderful miracles happened in the midst of the people. Father, we believe that you're still here. It's been 40 years since your prophet went off the scene. But Father, we believe that you are here. So Lord, we know that there's been a generation now since your prophet has departed. And in a few months shortly, half a year, Lord, this will be concluded. But we believe, Father, that you remain the same and you change not. So Father, we ask that you would help us, Lord, to come into that message, to understand that shout. May it become part of our lives in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, tonight we're going to continue with the masterpieces, number 3 in our series. And the subtitle is The River of Life. And as you know, we've been talking about the great fountain of life for the past couple of Sundays. We've been speaking from the masterpiece, paragraph 2, where Brother Branham began his prayer. And he said, O Lord Jesus, thou the inexhaustible fountain of life. And so we are looking at this inexhaustible, have examined this inexhaustible fountain of life, of which we have entered into a study of this great fountain. And notice it's not just a fountain. We think of fountains, we think of water. But the water has significance here. This is a fountain of life we're talking about. And it's a fountain of God life, which existed in a solitary existence in God for an eternity in the past. And then God began to bring forth this God life into manifestation as he brought it forth into his Son. And so we have as an understanding, in the very beginning was God, but before he was God, he was just Elohim. He was the self-existent one. And he was life. And of course, God is love. But now we're focusing on not the love part, we're focusing on the life part. And of course, if people love each other, they come together to produce life. And so you cannot separate life and love. But we're focusing on the life part. And as we follow this God life down through the stream of life, or what we would call the river of life, we have a beautiful picture of a father and his lineage. Now from the future home, Brother Ramson, notice the river of life, perhaps many little streams making it up. I want you to think about that. Many little streams making up this river of life. And as you remember last week, we showed how this river of life began to pour out from God, and it poured into his Son, the Logos, that went out from God, that part of God that expressed itself, and then forth from the Son, we'll just put his mouth here, you know, that spoken word, that life coming forth from the Word, because remember, God breathed into Adam the breath of life, so he had to breathe into his Son the breath of life as well. We just don't see that in the Scripture as plainly as we see it. It wasn't Adam, but remember Adam, there was two Adams. I'm not talking about you, Adam. We're talking about the first Adam, which was the flesh, and then the second Adam, which was the Lord from heaven. And but actually, that one from the Lord from heaven, God actually breathed forth, birthed forth a Son before the foundations of the world. Then we see Adam came on the scene. And Adam, God breathed into Adam the breath of life. And notice, he breathes into his nostrils the breath of life. So then Adam became a living expression of the same God life coming down. Now then Adam brought forth Seth. And of course Seth brought forth Enos. I'm just going to draw some stick figures here. Etc. Until we find, going all the way to the lineage of Jesus, we have the spoken word coming through or the the lineage of God, the God life of God, the stream of God, the river of life flowing down from the throne of God and of the Lamb. All right? Now remember, the Lamb was slain before the foundations of the world. Brother Branham said it was just as good as done when God thought it as it was when it took place, as far as God's concerned, because if God thought it and spoke it, it's a finished deal. All right, so from the future home, Brother Branham said, notice the river of life, perhaps many little streams making it up. Now, in this earth, I'm going to close just a minute. In this earth, I'm going to stop. Now, that's how much notes there are. I got around about 30 pages in this life. I have never seen nothing so quenching as to be in the mountains and find, as I preached on the other night, that stream bubbling up. It's life-giving resource. And you'd be tired and thirsty and fall down by a good stream. Way down there, germs can't go. Way down hundreds of feet in the earth is bubbling forth pure, genuine, life-giving water. We appreciate that. And so Brother Branham paints a picture in our mind of the benefits of that of waters of life, he calls it. And we're talking about this water of life, actually. It's not H2O we're really talking about. This is the water represents something. And we find in the scripture, we find in the great picture that God gives us, the washing of water by what? By the Word. So the water represents the Word coming forth from the Father into His Son Jesus, into His Son Adam, into Enos and Seth, et cetera, all the way down through Christ, who is the Word, came back. And then we find in this last hour, God has come down to do it again. And Brother Branham said he's come to bring us back to our rightful position, which fell in the garden, to bring us back with Him in fellowship again. How does He do it? By that same life-giving water, the Word. Now I want you to picture in your mind this great fountain of life, which was in God. Now, if anything is alive, it must multiply. Cells that are living multiply themselves, and cells that are not alive do not multiply themselves. Now, in the book of Genesis, which is called the Book of Beginnings, or more precisely, the seed chapter of the Bible, it shows how life must come forth. And notice in chapter 1 and verse 3, the first time that God speaks, there is light. He brings forth light, and then God divides the light from darkness. The second time God speaks, He brings forth water, and He divides the water from above from the waters from below. Now, notice that the first two times God speaks, there is separation. Why? Because unless you have a division of cells, you cannot have a multiplication of life. Therefore, God, who is life, could not separate this life from Himself without dividing this life cell upon word upon cell. You know, as Brother Brown said, when word is piled upon word, it takes a hold of every cell or every fiber of your body. So we're talking about life cell, life cell, life cell, word cell, word cell, word cell. So God had to take it from Himself. You see, where Pentecost made the big mistake is they say that all that was in the Father, they have a glass, was poured into the Son. Now they throw away the Father. The Father has no more life in Him. No more Spirit. It's all in the Son. Now they take that glass. All that was in the Son, He poured into the church. They throw away the Son. There's no more Son. Now it's all in the church. That's hogwash. You see, God, being full, you have three glasses, the first one full, second two are empty. That which was in the Father, He poured into the Son. Now the second one is full, the first one's full. What is that? It's a dividing of cell. It's a dividing of life. It's a multiplication of life. The same life that's in the Father is in the Son now. Now you've got two glasses full. Now all that was in the Son, He pours into the church. Now you've got three glasses full. Why? Well, Adam, you've got three children. And those three children came forth from you. They've got Adam life in them. And that didn't make you any smaller each time you had the child. No. In fact, the older you get, probably get bigger and bigger. You know, if you, like me, put on the weight and everything else. But the thing of it is you see, the Adam life that went into James didn't deplete from you, and now he's got it, and there's only so much to begin with. Brother Brown called it an inexhaustible fountain of life. Inexhaustible. You dip the cup in, there's just as much left when you dip it and take out from it as there was to begin with. Like an artesian well. The artesian well doesn't go dry, it just keeps pumping up from beneath. You can keep drawing all the water you want, it just keeps supplying. Hallelujah. And that's the way God is. That's the way God life is. You see? Don't ever think you can exhaust. As Brother Branham said last week, we read it. He said, a little fish thinks, well, I better kind of sparingly drink here because I might drink the ocean dry. It's an impossibility. You see? Now notice the first two times God speaks, there's separation. Why? Because unless you have a division of cells, you cannot have a multiplication of life. Therefore, God, who is life, could not separate this life from himself without dividing this life cell upon word cell, first into his son and then into sons. Now notice, the life of God, the word of God, the spirit of God went into his son, the Logos, the part of God that went out from God. Did that make God any smaller? Absolutely not. You see, that's the mystery of godliness, is that it doesn't take away from you. You give to another, it doesn't deplete from you. God just gives you that much more to give again. You see? Now, so we see then the two most essential elements to maintain life is light and water. The first time God spoke, he brought forth light. Second time God spoke, he brought forth water. Why? Those are the two most essential elements to maintain, to sustain life. And thus God finds, he first sets the atmosphere for life. God had to create an atmosphere to bring forth the life before he could bring forth the life. What good would it have been for God to bring forth life and then it would die right there because it's dark and no water? It dries up. Water makes oxygen. Oxygen allows animals to breathe. What if there wasn't any water? There would be no oxygen. What if there was no light? There'd be no mechanism in the plant for photosynthesis to produce oxygen. So you see, God created an atmosphere first. An atmosphere of life to sustain the life. Then God brought forth life. Genesis 1 and verse 11. Then God said, let every seed bring forth after its kind, after its own nature. Therefore, it was necessary for God to create the right atmosphere to sustain life before he imparted life. Then how much more should we be aware that the atmosphere is the most important thing if we are to sustain our Christian life and our Christian walk? That's why Brother Branham said you've got to apply the token. The token is Christ. He's here in our midst. How do you apply it? You live as though he's here. You talk as though he's listening to what you're saying. You think the thoughts that he would think. You receive the very mind of God. Now, to many churches, they do not understand this principle. And instead of working on the atmosphere within the church, they go out with zeal to bring others into the fold, and they end up bringing the people into confusion and many times into conflict. The church should first focus on its atmosphere. And once that atmosphere is established, then they should share the God life, which is the anointed word, to others. Then they can bring them into a place that will nourish and maintain the God life that is in them. You bring them in, you try to get them born again, and you bring them into confusion, you bring them into gossip, you bring them into backbiting and divisions and cults and cliques and clans and everything else, and they're going to die. Because there isn't an atmosphere there to maintain the life. So you see, God created an atmosphere first. Then he brought forth the life. A husband and wife, man and woman, they get married. They've got to create an atmosphere between themselves first before they can start bringing little children on the scene. Otherwise, the little children end up neurotics. They have a lot of problems. But if there's a loving nature, culture in that family, an atmosphere of love and trust and respect, then it brings forth healthy and normal children. In 1 John chapter 1, in verse 11 we read, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. Notice here that the Word is called the Word of Life. For the life was manifested. What was manifested? He said the light. The life was manifested. And yet the same apostle that wrote this and said the life was manifested, in John chapter 1 verse 14, he said that the Word was manifested. So we see that the Word is life. In fact, Jesus said in John 6 and 63, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. And so John continues and says, and we have seen it. We've seen this life. And we bear witness of this life. And here's the catch. And we show unto you what we have seen and bore witness to. We show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father. You see, this life was with the Father. It was in the Father to begin with. In the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was the life. And the life was with God. The life was God. You see? You cannot separate the Word from life. Oh, you have a lot of people talking about the Rhema, the Logos, Rhema, Logos, blah, 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 blah. But words are seeds. Seeds are bearers of life, carriers of life. I don't care if it's a good word or a bad word. It's a carrier of life. It just depends on what source it's from. Is the life you're going to get. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you. Notice it says, and we bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father. So you see, the life was with the Father. For He is that great fountain of life. And was manifested unto you. That which we have seen and heard, two senses, declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son Jesus Christ. Now, as I was saying, the water represents the Word of God. We are washed in the washing of water by the Word. And we are commanded in the book of Revelations to come and drink freely from the river of life. So the Word is life. And it represented in the Scripture, it is represented in the Scripture as water. Let's turn to Psalm number 1. This speaks of a true seed of God. True Son of God. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. For his delight is in the word of the Lord, and in his word doth he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Why? Because he's planted by the water. He's planted by the word. He's planted by the river of life, the stream of life. So we see then that water represents life. It represents life in Scripture. Now the light, notice, because that was the second thing God brought forth was that light, the water. The first thing was the light. Now light represents illumination upon the Word. We are told in Psalm 110 that the Word of God is a lamp unto our feet and a light. Notice, the Word of God is the lamp and a light unto our path. But we are also found that the foolish virgin had the lamp, but they didn't have oil for the lamp. Therefore, their lamp was darkness to them. There was no light of illumination. There was no stimulation of revelation. And so you've got to have light and water for life, to sustain life. You've got to have revelation of the Word in order to be part of that stream of life flowing down from the throne of God. Light represents God's great wisdom and revelation. Notice in Ephesians 1 that the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him comes on the scene. So how did God do it? A pillar of fire came down, stood over a prophet, a light, showing wisdom and revelation. And he said, as John the Baptist forerun my first coming, so shall a message, your message, forerun my second coming. Not you, the man. Not your name, Branham, has nothing to do with it. But your message.
Where are you going to get that message, William Branham? Make it up? Well, if he made it up, it wouldn't be light. God himself came down and gave that message to his prophet. The prophet then took it and gave it to us. That's how God works. Thus saith the Lord. Isn't the prophet just saying some words that he thinks that, and he hopes, you know, oh boy, I sure hope God means thinks this way. No, thus saith the Lord is that God has already said thus. And he's just saying what the prophet or what God said. Now, notice it was a pillar of fire that came down in this hour and brought forth a shout. The pillar of fire is not God, but it is the anointing upon him, showing us his Shekinah presence, illuminating his presence among us. Now, we were talking about an atmosphere that will sustain and maintain life, and we see that God prepared the way for life to come. And what good would it do to receive the new birth if we do not have an atmosphere to enter into that will maintain our new way of life? Now, this great fountain of God life, as it began to flow forth from God down through his Son, and then into sons, is a stream of God life. It's the river of life coming forth from the throne of God. Now, this great fountain of life began to move. And as it began to move, as God himself began to bring forth into manifestation his thoughts, the God life began to overflow from the presence of God. And so we see in the diagram the churning of the waters. God began to brood. And the waters, you know, when that great whirlwind comes, when that wind blows on the water, what happens? It begins to churn. What happens? If it's full, it's going to start spilling over. And that's what happened. The God life began to spill over, and it brought forth a son. I like that. A chip off the old block, so to speak. Water from the well. Amen. Now this great fountain of life began to move, and as it began to move, as God himself began to bring forth into manifestation his own thoughts, the God life began to overflow from God's presence, and it flowed first into a son, as we find in John 5 and verse 26 that says, "For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself." And in Proverbs 8 and verse 22 to 36, reading from the NIV translation, "The Lord brought me forth as the first of his works, before his deeds of old. I was appointed from eternity, from the beginning, before the world began. When there were no oceans, I was given birth. When there was no spring abounding with waters, before the mountains were settled in place, before the hills, I was given birth. Before he made the earth or its fields or any of the dust of the world, I was there when he set the heavens in place, when he marked out the horizon on the face of the deep." So we see then the Son of God coming forth from the throne of God. Hallelujah. God life coming down. So we see then that God had given birth to himself a son. And we pick up the story of this river of life in Genesis as we examine this God life going forth from generation to generation until we came to Christ. Now in this last hour, God has himself to restore, God came himself to restore us back to where we fell at Eden, to the place where God began it all when he breathed into Adam the breath of lives. And in the book of Genesis, which is the book of beginnings, and it's called the seed chapter of the Bible, we see the law of reproduction defined. In Genesis 1 and verse 11, "Let every seed bring forth after its kind." Now, this word kind was translated from a Greek word that means portion, or it could mean nature. Let every seed bring forth after its portion. Now, remember what we talked about. When God breathed into Adam the breath of lives, that was all lives that were sons, excluding this son and excluding God, the giver of life. It was God's life in him, and in him, in his genetic makeup, in his seed count, if you want to call it that, every single son of God that ever will come into the earth came through. And we showed you last week that Paul told us that we all come in the image of Adam. We all came in the image of Adam. Now, notice it. Then Seth, that God life was poured into Seth. How? Through birth. Now, Seth didn't have Adam in him. Seth didn't have the Son of God in him. But he had the same God life that was in both, because by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body. We're talking about Spirit. This is the Spirit of God flowing from the throne of God. Hallelujah. Notice, you and I have two parents. So we have two sets of gene pools to draw from to make up who we are. Jesus did not have two sets of gene pool. He had one, and that was from God. Therefore, the fullness of God, every attribute, every God life attribute that ever came forth from Him. But notice, when it came forth into Adam, this Adam, it was missing one son. Therefore, he didn't have the fullness. He didn't have the full measure as he had the full measure, but he had a greater measure than you and I had a greater measure. And then Seth had less than Adam had. Enos had less than Seth had. Until we come down to the end time when the seed runs out. Then God comes on the scene. And he says, I shall restore, saith the Lord. And Brother Bram said, he brings us to our rightful position which we had in the garden where we had fellowship with him, where we walked and talked in the cool of the evening. Walking with the presence of God. And what did he do in that garden? He breathed into Adam the breath of lives. Hallelujah. And in this hour, the fullness of the God life has been breathed by a shout into sons and daughters of God, as it was back in the beginning. You see, Martin Luther's day, if you follow this down, I hope you can understand what I'm talking about. It got to where there was less light, less light, less light, to finally there was hardly any light. And Martin Luther said, there's one thing we've got to hold on to. The just shall live by faith. And John Wesley said, you know, on top of that, there's a life to be lived. And then God came back and restored the whole thing. Until the same measure that was in Adam should be in the church today. If God is going to restore us as back to where it was in the garden, and that's from Christ is the mystery of God revealed. Maybe tomorrow morning I'll pull that quote up and show you. That we don't have the measure that David had. We don't have the measure that Luther had. We don't have the measure that Wesley had. We don't have the measure that Moses or Noah had. But we have the measure that the first Adam was given. And if the Spirit that be in Christ be in you, it will also quicken your mortal body. And by one Spirit, we are all baptized into one family, into one body. The God measure, the God life coming down. That's why it says, and let every seed bring forth after its kind. Let every seed bring forth after its portion. So you see how the portions got smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller until it appeared the seed had run out. And now God has restored. God has brought a full portion for a predestinated people. Hallelujah. So we can see that God had given birth to himself a son. And then we pick up the story of the river of life going down. And then we see that God began to send forth this God life into sons, beginning with Adam. And from generation to generation, he began by breathing into Adam the breath of lives. And then this seed of God, or the seed of God life, was passed from generation to generation until we see the seed running out in the last hour. It is at this time when God has stepped down from glory, bringing with him a shout, which is a message, and in which contains this God life, for Jesus said, my words are spirit, and my words are life. Thus this life stream of the God life has once again in this hour come forth from the loins of God's mind and has once again come to do the same thing he intended in Adam. Therefore, in this hour, God has once again come on the scene and breathed into the end time elect the breath of God, thus inspiring a people by the breath of his own mouth. Now, tomorrow morning, we're going to continue on in our study of this thought on the great fountain of life. Only this time, we'll be looking at the law of reproduction and show how the very nature of the life giver must, according to this law of reproduction, bring forth its own nature in its seed. And to find this law of reproduction, we must turn to the book of beginnings, which is the book of seeds, which is the book of Genesis. And the very word Genesis has its roots in the word genes. Genes is. Genesis. Genes is. And we could, in our English language, pronounce it genes is, because that is what the book of Genesis, genes is, all about. So, I think this sermon of Brother Branham's on the masterpiece is going to be one which helps us to understand who we are, to take back our right position. Not to be, let the devil beat you up, but to have victory in Christ. To know your place, to know your role, and to move forward by the grace of God. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. You are the word. You are the life-giving. And Father, we know the life came from you. And Father, by one Spirit, we, including your Son, were all baptized into one body. And believing, Father, that every seed brings forth after its portion. And yet, we have the great fountain in this day coming down, giving us the full word. So we didn't just get a little portion, a little added to Pentecost. But Father, we received a full 7-course meal in this hour. And Father, we're thankful that you've restored. And now we pray, Father, that knowing that you set the atmosphere, help us to walk in that atmosphere. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Ron, Brother Michael, if you would bring forth the elements at this time. Musicians, if you would come.